truly good once again. We gather together to worship God in spirit and in truth. As always, as we sing praises unto God, we lift our voices in a manner of showing Him thanks for all that He has done for us. And as we think about the songs that we sing, we think about the blessings that He has bestowed upon us. We have so many that do not appreciate the blessings that God has given us. And the thanks that they show to Him is by not worshiping Him in a fashion that is pleasing. But we have those that are looking and trying to find their way back. And as they are looking and searching for something better in this life, it is our responsibility to do our part, to make sure that they get back into the place in which they need to be. And yes, it is truly storming outside. But you know, that's what's good about being in the ark of safety. We don't have to worry about the storms that surround us. Yes, I think we lost something off the roof, but that's okay. It's still under warranty. And as we do the things that God tells us to do and be the people that God tells us to be, we find many, many scriptures that talk about God's people and trying to bring them back to the fold. The nation of Israel had many, many problems. And as they had these problems, there were many times where God's people spoke to them, trying to get them to understand what they must do. Brother Brian, you have that? Read it for us. Hosea 14:4.
I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger is turned away from them.
Heal. What we're looking at when something healed, we're looking at something brought back whole. Something they don't have to worry about. I will heal their backsliding. He's going to be able to, you know, these people are going to be able to be who God wants them to be and act the way God wants them to act. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 3, verse 22. Jeremiah himself, a prophet of the Lord, he even, you know, speaks to the people, trying to get them to understand what they must do, being who they need to be. So as we look at it and we understand, we recognize the things that God desires from us. Brother Mark, you have that? Jeremiah 3:22.
Yes, sir.
Read it for us, please.
Return, O faithless sons, I will heal your faithlessness. Behold, we come to you, for you are the Lord our God.
Asking again for the backsliders to come back. Now, as we go through these next few verses, I want you to consider and I want you to think about how many backslid away from this place. How many need to be restored back to the fold of God? And what is our concern for those that have fallen away? Isaiah 44, it's not 222 verses there, a heavy finger. Isaiah 44 verse 2, let's start there. And we'll go to verse 22. It says in verse 2 of Isaiah 44, thus said the Lord that made thee, inform thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jerusalem, whom I have chosen. Verse 22. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Blotted them out. We all understand what it means to blot something out. Those of you that are still in school and you go to school and you make a mistake on your paper and you don't want anyone to see what you made, you blot it out. If you're doing math, you have an eraser on that pencil, you turn it over, you try to erase it. And sometimes we try to erase it so hard we erase a hole in our paper. This is what we're looking at when God says He will blot out their transgressions. He will not remember them anymore. This is what it means to restore something. You don't see the faults in it anymore. You don't see any tears, any breaks, any cracks, because it has been restored to its natural form. In Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. 1 Chronicles 7, 14. That was a heavy finger. This was just a mistake. 1 Chronicles 7, 14. Actually, it's going to be 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 7, 14. If my people now, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. My people, which are called by my name. Now, God's people are truly His people. If we would do what we're supposed to do, He will recognize who we are and He will answer our prayers. There are so many that are lost, that need to be restored, or trying to pray to God every time they get into not the trouble that they're in for falling away, but the trouble they get in while they're out there. God is not recognizing those people. He's not listening to their prayers. He's not trying to answer their prayers. He wants them to be restored in order for Him to do what He has promised. What does restore mean? You see the definition? Bring back to His original form. Brother Mark was on the radio with us today, Mark Mitchell, and he mentioned about a chair leg being broken, and you fix that chair leg. You put it back to its original form. And you know, as you put that chair leg back to its original form, or automobile, whatever you're restoring, you want to make sure it looks like it did in the very beginning. You want to make sure that when you put that leg back together, that you sand all that glue off of it. When you put that automobile back together, the last thing that needs to happen to that automobile before it drives out of that shop is that you need to get that buffer out, and you need to polish it, and you need to get that last little rag, and you need to wipe that last little dust off of it. It has been restored back to its original form. So we have some Christians that need to be restored back to their original form. They come up, they write down that they have sinned, and they're asking for prayers of the congregation, but have they truly been restored back to their original form? Have we taken the time to dust them off? Have we taken the time to put them back where they need to be in the Lord's church and working once again? We need to understand these things. One can easily see how to restore something back to its original state when it is material. But what about restoring a soul back to the fold? Do we really know how to do that? Are we understanding what God desires of us? Are we being the people that God wants us to be? One is lost when they fade away from the fold and are in need of being restored. We pass them all the time. We pass automobiles all rusted out in the field somewhere. And some you are wishing to have, and some you say, that's a good place for it. There was an old Chevy out there in my brother-in-law's field, and the tree was growing up in the middle of it. He said, I wish I had pulled that out a long time ago. We have some souls that need to be pulled out. They've been out there too long. It's storming right now, and there are some souls out there in that storm, and they need to be brought back into the ark of safety. We need to do our part. Some men and women that fell away from God, Adam and Eve. Y'all know the story. You know the story well. How they did what God told them not to do by eating of the tree that was in the midst of the garden. What about David and Aaron? Brother White mentioned that the other day. Instead of speaking to the rock, what did they do? They struck the rock. Those men needed to be restored, didn't they? They fell away from God. What about Jonah? Jonah ran from God. He did not want to go toward Nineveh. He wanted to go in the opposite direction. He needed to be restored. What about old Peter? Peter denied who Jesus Christ was, that he was even ever with him. He needed to be restored. How many people can you name that need to be restored? Not from God's Word, but from your own families. From the family of God which assembles here. How many can you name? And then as you name them, think about what you're doing in order to restore them. So those that have fell away need to be encouraged to come back. How are we going to do it? Are we going to say, oh, that's the elders' responsibility? I want you to understand, not the men that are here, but there are some elders out there who do not understand their responsibility. They said, it is not my responsibility to go out there and get that sheep that's lost. It's someone else's responsibility. You know what I told one of those men that said that one time? I said, me and my family, we're going to worship somewhere else because you obviously don't know your job. 99, if you have 100 sheep, one should go astray. You should be out there looking for that sheep. He said, it's not our job. Well, obviously your job is not being an elder because you're not doing your job. We have to encourage those that are lost, that have fallen away, to come back to the fold. In Acts chapter 3, verse 19 through 21. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 through 21. Making y'all lazy on that one. I don't hear no pages turning, but that's okay. Repent therefore and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that He may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets long ago. Repent. See, this is what we want people to do that have fallen away. We want them to repent. We want them to come back to the fold. We want them to understand that when Jesus Christ comes back in the clouds of glory, He is coming back for a perfect church. And no matter how many times you have set foot into this building, if you are not pleasing and acceptable in His sight, you are not going home with Him. So we need to restore some people, don't we? We don't want anybody to be left behind, as Brother Larry was saying the other day. We want everybody to go with us. Well, I'm just looking out for self. Well, you know where self is, so therefore you need to help somebody else along their way. Can we get them into heaven? No, they're going to have to get themselves there. But we can help them along the way. I used to run track a long, 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 long time ago, Brother Mark. Someone could run on the inside of the field, and as long as they didn't touch you, everything was all right. But when you start to lag back and they reach out and grab you, you're disqualified. It's not like that being a member of the Lord's church. We need to lend a helping hand. We need to help other saints along the way in order for them to know which direction they need to be going. But in the end, they still would give an account for their own sins. In the process of restoring one back, we must consider the reason they failed in the first place. Falling away just doesn't happen overnight. In most cases, it is something that happens in stages. Oh, someone is missing worship today. They decided that they didn't want to come. What's the problem? As Brother Larry said the other day, you know, just that one time, that's all it takes. And then they say, oh, that was so easy. No one ever called me or anything. Doesn't matter why they're not here. We need to call them to check on them. We need to stop by their house sometimes, unannounced, to see exactly what's going on. Because the world will tell you what's going on in their lives. Oh, I know he was supposed to be at worship, but he wasn't there. I know exactly where he was. He was over on the boat. What was he doing on the boat? Was he throwing his rod and reel out? Or was he on the boat gambling? Or was he on the boat with some woman? The world can tell you. But do we know where they are? Do we understand that it's a stage that they're going through? But no matter what the case, we must act immediately to restore them. Get them back to where they need to be. Call them. Flood them with calls Make them take their phone off the hook, because we're continuing to call them to see where they are, because we care about their souls. This is what it takes to restore someone. I never seen an automobile say, "Oh, don't put no more paint on me." The automobile don't say anything, do it. But we need to understand that we need to restore those lost souls back to the fold. We must understand that it's possible for one to fall away. There are many that teach that one cannot fall away from grace, but the Bible tells us different. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, there's no brother in here. When I say brother, I'm talking about both men, women, boys, and girls. No one in here that is so strong that they will never fall. The only thing that we need to understand, when they fall, we need to help them back up. We need to get them back where they need to be. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 said, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." These individuals have fallen away, and they need to be restored. And in the process of restoring these, they need to be rebuked. You know, as we rebuke them and they continue to look at the Bible and understand what they're supposed to do and how they're supposed to do it, they may decide that they need to come back before it is too late. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, I don't care how many good things you've done. I don't care how much good work you've done. I don't care how dedicated you seem to be. The Bible says something different here according to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4. Let's go back up to verse 1. In Revelation chapter 2, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things said he that beholdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted." That's good, isn't it? That's a very, very good report. But look what he says. "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." You're falling away. You're not giving, you know, the right attention to the things in which you need to be given attention to. Oh, you talk a good game, but you're not walking the walk. You know, it's easy to say something, but it's another thing, whole different ball game, to do something. How many of you are busy? How many of you are doing what God would have you to do? How many of you have your lives in order the way God would want them to be? Time, only time, will tell. In Isaiah 59 verse 2, Isaiah 59 verse 2, "For there are those that teach that you cannot fall away. There are those that teach that you can never be separated away from God." Well, God is the one not separating himself. You, we are the ones that are separating away from God. In Isaiah 59, verse 2. Isaiah 59, verse 2. "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God." What it says, "And your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." Turn back to God, and he will hear from heaven. We have to turn back to him. We have to be joined back to him, doing his will. But Isaiah continues to say, "Your iniquities have separated between you and your God." We need to get it right. We need to help those that have fallen away to get back to where they need to be, in order for their prayers to be heard. For them to have, you know, an opportunity to have their prayers answered. We're not going to always get the answers we want, but at least we're getting an answer. But you have to be in the right state. You have to do what God wants you to do. Showing love by trying to bring backsliders back to God. You know, a lot of times when we when we're trying to get somebody to do right, when we have the wrong attitude. Just the other day, I saw a man trying to get a dog to shut up, and he came and got a stick to get that dog to be quiet. If he would have hit that dog with that stick, he would have been in trouble. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to point that way. He would have been in trouble. Because the owners would have been upset. He had a good idea. Just as we do sometimes, we're trying to bring backsliders back to the fold. We have good ideas, but are they the best idea? Is it the best manner to do this thing? He did the same thing I'd have done, though. A bad dog needs a stick sometimes. Let's go to the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 1. But we need to understand what we need to do in order to bring a soul back to the fold. Paul says here in Galatians chapter 6 verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So we need to understand what condition we're in before we try to restore someone else. You'll never see me go out there and try to knock a dent out of a truck. You probably already seen my truck. That big dent in the top of it. The reason I haven't tried to knock that dent out yet, because I don't know what I'm doing. There are some people that do not know how to restore someone back to the fold. You know what they need to do? They need to step back and let someone else do it. But when you do it, it says, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You're not so strong that you will not fall. So you need to understand what you're doing and what you're getting into. Never, ever try to save someone from a problem that you have a problem with. Send someone else. We need to understand these things. In the book of James, chapter 5, verse 19. James chapter 5, verse 19. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. You know, you're out there doing one thing, and we come out there and restore you and bring you back in. That one thing that you were doing, you were doing other things along with it. But when you come back to the fold, all of those things sometimes cease to happen. And shall hide a multitude of sins. How many people do you know today that need to be restored? And how many of us are restoring them in a fashion that God is pleased with? Doing what we are supposed to do. Instructing one to come back to the Lord. Oh, if you don't get right, something bad is going to happen to you. Or you walk up to him and say, you know, you're going to hell. Well, what's going to cause them to go to hell? Is it what they're doing at that moment, or is it what they're going to do later? See, they still have an opportunity to get their lives right. A lady told me one day, she said, you know I'm going to hell. I said, no, you still have an opportunity to get your life right. So we have to be patient with them sometime. In the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 13. In the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 13. We're looking for honest people. We're looking for people that desire to do the will of the Lord. We're looking for men and women that know that there are laws, but yet they really don't know the direction in which they need to go. We need someone to help them along the way. In Joel chapter 2, verse 13, it says, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repented him of the evil. Don't tear your clothes. Let's get your heart right. Let's do what God wants us to do. He said, and rend your heart and not your garment. So there are so many times where people want to do one thing that God really is not concerned with instead of doing what God wants you to do. God desires no man to be lost. But we know that there are many. But we need to try our best to restore them back to the fold before it is too late. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 20. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 20. There are those that have strayed away. There are those that have not done what is right. They have talked bad about the Lord's church. But yet we still need to do our part in order to get them to understand what they need to do. Paul says here, in verse, let's go to verse 19 or verse 18 down through verse 20. He says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and of a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. And what did he do? He called the name of them, didn't he? He said, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. So in the process of instructing one to come back to the Lord, we have to turn them over where? Over to Satan. Let Satan have his way with them. And see if they really and truly want to be out there in the world. Or do they want to come back to a loving family? We need to understand this. The parable of the lost son. We're not going to go through the whole thing, but I just want you to understand. You all know it. If you don't know it, take time to read it. Luke chapter 15, verse 11 through 32. The son wanted the best of both worlds. And when reality set in, the things of the world did not offer the comforts of home. And he realized he made a mistake. He knew that the things in which he desired were against the will of both God and his father, and wanted to get it right. So we have some people like the prodigal son have made up in their minds that they have lived a sinful life and they want to come back to the fold because they see where the comforts are. They see where the blessings are. You know, we talk about so many times how people say, I'm blessed, and we look at them and say, oh, there's a whole lot of different type of people that are blessed. The people in jailhouses are blessed. They get 3 meals a day and they get a bed to sleep on. Didn't say a soft bed, but they get a bed to sleep on. They have a roof over their head. It's storming outside right now. Even those that are out there watching them work in those fields, when the storm comes, they get them out of the storm and put them into safety. The prodigal son didn't have that luxury when he was out there, when he left home. But guess what? He made up in his mind. He came to his senses one day. And he said, you know, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against my father. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go back home and I'm going to tell my father just this thing. And as the scripture was read, he did exactly what he said. He woke up one day and he decided to go home. And when his father saw him, he was ready to restore him. He ran to him and he kissed him upon his neck. This is my son who was lost, but now he's found. He was gone, but now he's back home. He was glad of this thing. What did he do? He dressed him again. He gave him the good things in which he had to his son. And what did he do? He killed the fatted calf. They had a feast. They had a good time. And that's what we're supposed to do when a lost soul comes back. We're supposed to have a good time. We're supposed to rejoice. We're supposed to act in manners in which we may not act with the person that we see on a daily basis, because we have seen that person. That person has always been with us, as the elder son was. Never left his father. Was never disrespectful. But the lost son was disrespectful. How many Christians do we know today that are disrespectful? But now, many have decided that they want to come home. But because of our attitude sometimes, they do not want to come. So we need to learn how to restore for lost souls. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Plans God has for you. Plans God has for me. To do what is right." We have a future in heaven because Jesus has already said, "I will go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also." How many of us are not doing our part in restoring a lost soul? If you're here this evening, the question, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Or are you washed in the blood? If you are not a Christian and you want to become one, the opportunity is given to you to come forth and make the good confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is truly the Son of God and have your sins washed away in the water of your baptism. Maybe you're here and you need to be restored back to the fold. That opportunity is yours as well to come forth, make your confession, do what is right, ask the congregation to pray for you that you may be strengthened. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, please come and sing the invitation hymn.